This is tape recording number 6309C12, a lecture given by L. Ron Hubbard on the 12th of September, 1963. The title of this lecture is Service Facsimiles.
This is the what? 12 September, AD 13, St. Hill special briefing course. And you're into the horrors of hidden standards, GPMs, chronic PT problems, service facsimiles, non-observation by the PC, a postulate being where the PC ought to be. How does it feel about a postulate? I mean, you always thought you had a PC, and then sharing you haven't, you got a postulate. A postulate which is designed to make others wrong and themselves right. I think that's quite interesting when you get right down to think of it. We've had all these things in the past. This is Scientology 3 I'm talking to you about, and as it flips over into Scientology 4. We've had all these things in the past, and the difficulties that the PC has in getting forward with his case are actually just those difficulties which I just enumerated. I'll go over them again for you seriously. P has a hidden stamp. Almost any PC that isn't making excellent progress, getting good TA action and so forth, has a hidden standard. What do we mean by a hidden standard? Well, he doesn't even know what he is measuring his progress by. But it's that which he measures his progress by. You say, did you make any gains in this session? And he consults this standard of some kind or another, and then he says yes or no, in accordance with whether or not this standard had shifted. Now, this is your lower level of case that does this. Not necessarily lower level, because you can get a case into restimulation, so that I suppose he does have temporarily hidden standard. PC's got a headache, had a headache for a week, been processed for some little time, considerable length of time, and a headache has turned on. Well, now he's liable to measure his processing as to whether or not it turns off his headache. You see that all the time. Well, now expand that. Of course, you can take by gradients all kinds of aspects of things, and you can see that these tiny little things can graduate into very serious, overwhelming proportions. That is to say, any insanity or any complete spin condition is simply an exaggeration, me plus ultra, to the exclusion of all other exaggerations, of something that is quite normal in most anybody. You see, you eat. You see, you consider that normal. It isn't very normal, but you consider it normal. And that if somebody is eating is not used by you as an auditor to measure whether or not the individual is clear or not. You just don't pay very much attention to it. This is something you don't think about very much. But as the case gets a little bit worse off, well, you have to start paying attention to it, because this may become a very great exaggeration. And it can become an exaggeration, a not eat, or an eat too much, or something like this, you see. Now, several other facets of life drop out at this particular time, and if you took this same phobia at a lower level case, you could get somebody who did nothing but eat, didn't do anything else. Now you say, this person's crazy. Supposing they just ate everything in sight. Pencils, razor blades, rose bushes. You say they're crazy. And supposing they refused to eat anything of any kind whatsoever. Similar conditions. If you want to understand what is an aberration, it is simply an exaggeration of the positive or negative of the usual. You can take anything a Thetan can do and exaggerate it in extremis, and it becomes an aberration. That's anything, don't you see? You'd say even exteriorization can become extremis. Somebody always flies out of his head. He is always out of his head. He cannot get near his body in any fashion or another. He worries about it all the time. He can't contact his environment via the body or contact the environment. Well, you say he's batty on the subject of exteriorization, don't you see? Well, what is this, then? It's simply an exaggeration of a condition which a Thetan ought to be able to do well. Well, everybody is a bit batty on this particular subject at this particular time because practically nobody exteriorizes easily. Or they're always exterior. There isn't any halfway measure on this particular line of exteriorization. That's because they are assisted to exteriorize by various means. Don't you see? I mean, the implantation, other means to exteriorize. This is an aberrated condition, but you see people around and they're not exteriorizing easily and you don't think this is odd. I mean, look at that. So that's an accepted neurosis. That neurosis is the common denominator of the society, or the normal. That normal. Well, just because everybody is doing it, man has an interesting way of measuring up what's right conduct. He has it measuring up of what's normal. One day you get into a society where everybody in the society is terrified of spiders. You get into this civilization. Everybody in this civilization is terrified of spiders. They're picking spiders off of themselves all the time, you see, and they sleep in their beds surrounded by spider traps, and they you see, just go on and on. Well, there's practically no girl in the room who isn't a little bit nervy on the subject of spiders, don't you see? You find a spider crawling across your nose, you boys would be upset too, you see. But this society does nothing whatsoever but fight spiders. Nothing known in its activity but that one. But this isn't crazy because everybody does it, you see. So according to those blokes in that society, they look at each other, and there's one guy there who isn't afraid of spiders, see. One guy there. So they say he's batty. He doesn't use spider bait around his plate while he eats, you see. Guy's crazy, see, obviously. So this shows you, of course, that a departure from the norm, I use an old cliche, a departure from the normal is no indication of aberration. It is actually no real concern of the auditor. Because you're bound sooner or later to find somebody who doesn't put spider bait around his plate while he eats, you see. This, by the way, what I'm saying here, occasionally causes auditors trouble, and they'll have trouble with some case. Case runs too easily. Suppose you found somebody that just clipped off engrams in chains. Bonk. That's the end of that chain of engrams. Well, you have trouble with him, see, because it's not a normal auditing response. I remember old Ray Thacker, she used to be worried about auditing me after lectures and so forth. Tell you about it today, I think. So, change too fast. It's upsetting. Finally got this thing taped. Didn't blind so good, but I thought it was rather amusing. You see. I run having this, and zing, bang, cognitions, brrr, and that's the end of the long chain of this and that sort of thing. Well, that's a different auditing response from the normal, so you're not completely proof of making a mistake as an auditor, so long as you accept this normal, or this average, you see, as the index as to whether or not a person is getting better or how he should behave in processing, you see. Well, this gets booby-trapped, too, because you start processing somebody, and he says he's out of his head, and he's on the moon, and he's here, and he's there, and he's taking care of the whole bank and that sort of thing. You're processing this bloke, and you may find out it's not true, you see. This upsets you. So a few weeks later, you're processing somebody who's close to an OT and is doing it, and it is true. Well, it's just whether or not the guy can do the process. That's your your thing, or whether or not he gains, and whether or not he can get tonar motion. Now, there's a good index. See? PC get tonar motion. You know, PC stay in session. PC go on willing to talk to you as the auditor. See, these are your indexes, and those indexes are constant. They have nothing to do with the speed with which a process works or the slowness with which it works. Doesn't leave you then hung with this thing called departure from the normal. You don't have to then have a normal for the human race, God help us all, as an index as to whether or not somebody's making progress in processing. I dare say if you went through an insane asylum, almost any insane asylum in the world, you would find in there somebody who was super normal and who was not crazy. I dare say there's probably one per asylum. But if insanity or neurosis is measured by this one thing, whether the person is normal, why, then you run into all sorts of trouble in trying to adjudicate it. So what you stick with is your auditing tools. See? You find out whether or not this person gets good TA, see, on what you're running on them, and whether or not this person can do the process and can stay in session with the auditor, and if the expected gains and that sort of thing are made and the thing, and that's your index, you see. His behavior, his actual behavior in life, is not of any great worry to you. Now, I give you that as a word of warning, because as you move up the line with modern processes, you very often go through periods of change, particularly with service facsimile and so forth. And you go through periods of change which may be very swift, and a case does some sort of a flick of some kind or another and goes from A to Z without bothering to stop at any other of the letters in the alphabet, or does it momentarily and hits a high and then does a slide back from the high or something like this. And if you were worrying all the time whether or not the PC had normal behavior, you've just added something into the whole problem of auditing which you just haven't anything to do with. That's all. And I take it from me, it's of no value. No value at all. We don't care whether they're normal or abnormal or supernormal or something like that. You can define various states. And it's easier to draw up a scale of abilities in life and try to measure somebody up against that if you must study behavior, don't you see? Let's get a scale of abilities. Only let's take a whole row of abilities, you see, and let's find out how the person measures up on each one of these ability lines and so on. You might have some idea of his condition as a thetan. See? You try to measure up thetan to thetan, well, that's rough. Now, you get some case that doesn't behave well under usual conditions of auditing, and you are having trouble under usual conditions of auditing, don't you see? Why, you've got another problem staring you in the face here. We don't care. That problem is not solved by saying the person is normal or abnormal. It is solved by the condition of re-stimulation of the case. That's how that is solved. Now, I've given you a whole chart here, which, by the way, has a great deal of value. You could put any PC on this or monitor any auditing against this particular chart, and start cutting down re-stimulation on the PC, and you can cut down environmental re-stimulation, you see, and cut this and that down, and you can cut down session re-stimulation in numerous ways, you see. Just don't give him anything new to audit and that sort of thing. Numerous ways of doing this. Anyway, those various zones I gave you there the other day. And you'll pick up the necessary TA action at some stage or another. Now, that's completely independent, you see, of what process you are running on the PC. That, too, that doesn't come into it either. You could probably make almost any PC get tonar in action on almost any process. providing you reduce the restimulation in various fronts and sectors till the PC's attention could be centered on it and the restimulation was at minimum, and you could probably get on almost any PC, tone arm action, almost any process. But on some, you'd have to be a lot more careful than others because the restimulation is very great. You see these as the factors with which you, an auditor, handle the case. Let's take a look, then, at the fact that there are some case peculiarities. And these case peculiarities all come under the heading of the material I've just reviewed this minute. Nothing in these things violate that. Now, that a person has a hidden standard does not make him subnormal or supernormal or normal or anything else. It merely means he has a chronic restimulation. That merely means he has a chronic restimulation of some kind that is throwing onto the case an additional amount of charge. Now, that was even in your chart I gave you here about what's in restimulation, see? And that comes under the heading of that. And this thing is in restimulation. It's chronically in restimulation. Now, in service facsimiles and other reasons and so forth, we get the reasons why it's in restimulation, but we're not examining why it is in restimulation at this particular time. We're examining wholly, totally, and only that it is in restimulation. Got that? Just reduce it to that simplicity. There's current stuff in restimulation. All right, there's current stuff in restimulation. It includes, in some cases, this hidden standard. And you say to the PC, did you have any gains in this session? Do you have any gains in this session? And the PC looks sort of hollow-eyed for a moment, and he looks back into his skull with his eyeballs or something of the sort, and he says to you, he says, after a minute or two, he says, no. Now, what brought him to say no? What brought him to say no? Well, the thing that really brings him to say no is no tone arm action. So you can predict whether or not he's going to say no. But this hidden standard is terribly interesting as a little mechanism all by itself, and it's a mechanism that you should look at as fascinating and its own gimmickry. It's in chronic restimulation. It's some engram, some facsimile, you know. It's in chronic restimulation. And if it was changed in the session, then he's had a gain. And if it wasn't changed in the session, then he didn't have a gain. You understand? Now, that's what makes the PC say whether he's had a gain or not gain. And, of course, there's the mechanical fact that if you get tone arm action, you must have been discharging some of that restimulation. So, of course, it will have changed this thing, and he will say he did have a gain. It's as elementary as this, but nevertheless, his gain is measured by this thing called a hidden standard. So there he is. There he is with something which tells him whether or not he has had a change. He actually, most of the time, is not aware of this. Now, if that was the only thing that happened in the session with regard to a hidden standard, you would be in clover. Because you could cope with that, because you just have tone arm action. See? But that isn't all that happens. Unfortunately, that isn't all that happens. There's something else going on during the session that you should be very interested in. And that is the fact that he's taking this thing, whatever it is, into every facsimile, into every process, and is trying to fit the process to this thing. He is always trying to find, hectically, scramblingly, and so forth, what it is in the incident that you are trying to run on, in the process you are trying to run on, in the picture he's just been presented with, which resolves this thing. You got that? In other words, he takes this little red wagon everywhere he goes, and he doesn't look at the picture. He says, did it wash up that little red wagon? Now, you're going to run some kind of an imant or something on this fellow, you see? And the stuff is spitting and spapping and burping at him and so forth, and he hadn't got really any attention on any of this stuff at all. He's trying to find out whether or not it's doing anything to the paint on this little red wagon, see? Which, in effect, is what? It gives a PC such an introversion in a session that he doesn't as-is anything and you don't get tone arm action. and time and the tone arm fit together. Now listen to this one because it's very important. He drags this thing into every other incident or thing to fit it up, and therefore is misstating something for the duration of the session and all sessions. He's always misdating something. That's worth knowing, isn't it? The fellow with the hidden standard, then, is always misdating. Because he's dragging the hidden standard. He's dragging the hidden standard into everything you're trying to audit. And, of course, that isn't the date of it. That's a fascinating little phenomena. He's dragging this red wagon, which may have the date of 8 trillion years ago, you see, and he's dragging it into yesterday, and he's dragging it into the breakfast table this morning, and so forth, and he's dragging it here, and he's dragging it there. If you tried to run birth on him, he would see whether or not it did anything to the little red wagon, you see. Wouldn't do anything to him. So in essence, he's put 8 trillion years ago into birth, he's put it into breakfast, he's put it here, and he's given it a new date every time. It's the most effective stopper of TA action there can be. The hidden standard. Misdate. Now there is a way of getting rid of it. A process which is called, was called 3T. Actually should be called now 4T. But could just as easily remain as 3T. And until we do a complete revision, you can write it as 3T. Routine 3T. Which simply asks the PC. Now, this is very germane to your service facsimile, because this is very cute. Very cute. You ask your PC for his chronic psychosomatic. What does he mainly complain about in auditing? Now, understand, you have asked him bluntly and directly, "Hey, bud, what's your hidden standard?" But all he knows about it is that he experiences it, and that it is always present. So you ask him what he is experiencing and what is always present. And he says, this is lumbosis. And you slicker him. And that's just called R3T, because the total action of it is you date it. You date it, let him get the its line in on it. And you'll find to a very marked degree, in most cases, that's the end of the hidden standard. What you have to know in order to understand this completely is the hidden standard always expresses itself physiologically. The hidden standard is never hidden physically. It's hidden from the PC. And it'd be hidden from the auditor if he never inquired into it. It's that thing by which the eel measures his gains in Pearl Little Ballroom. It'll be what he complains about in processing. And sometimes it's going to take you an hour or two of it saying just to find out what it is. And that, too, is very good auditing. What's this thing he's been trying to solve in processing? What's the physiological condition which most worries him in processing and which he has been trying to solve? And he will eventually lay it out on a silver platter, and he will say, "It is my stomach pains." Now, he's got that all settled. Now, that, by the way, has already alleviated it to a marked degree and has given you some interesting tone arm action, maybe where you didn't have any before. R3T is one of these things you can use in extremis. You just put the its a line in like mad on the guy's chronic somatic. You see? What are you trying to solve in processing? He gives it to you and he gives it to you. Now, the only difficulty with this, if he starts giving you problems, you've sort of had it, because that problems isn't an itza. You understand? So your question probably ought to lean in the direction of what physical condition are you trying to solve? He'll eventually isolate these gut pains. Gradually, you know, it's a line. It's good auditing, see? It's marvelous auditing. He gradually it's this thing out into view. If he doesn't tell you at once, sometimes he spoils the whole process. He says, oh, it's my lumbosis. Yeah, I mean, you've had it, see? Then you'd have to go into it on the basis, well, when has this troubled you in processing? You would probably get some TA action out of it, sort of an anticlimax. You could probably get some action out of the thing, even so. And that may be the only way you can handle it. You know, it's when has this troubled you this lifetime or something. But you can take that with R3T and you say gut pains. Gut pains. Order of magnitude. Years ago, tens of years ago, hundreds of years ago. Keep going, man. Keep going. Don't stop just because you've hit a trillion. Some people get allergic to this thing called a trillion. I don't know why. They got lots of them. You have big problems in how to express trillions and big problems in how to this. I've even had some suggestions that we invent a new unit of time, some kind or another. I'm all in favor of that, but I'm afraid it would have had to been done some time ago for it to work on a Thetan. Thank God we aren't measuring it in numbers of heartbeats. Anyway, you just get that order of magnitude, see? This is, by the way, good auditing to do this. You date very alertly. And sometimes you say, I've got to read here, apparently, that's in the order of magnitude of trillions of trillions of trillions of years ago. And the gut pains go bzz, bzz, boom. And that's all you hear about it, and that's the end of that process. That's the lengthiest process in Scientology, in terms of numbers of years covered, but not in hours of auditing. One warning here, you try to nail this thing too closely, and you get yourself in trouble, and you find the PC sitting in the engram, and you're going to have to shift to I3R right there. He's so stuck. And if he was in a GPM, you'd have to shift to 3N. And if he was in his own GPM, he'd probably, oh well, 3M2. So, therefore, you can make too much of a good thing out of R3T. That can be too. So the dating, now get this, the dating is done with an OI on the PC as well as the meter. And that's what makes it a process which commonly will fail because it is simply overrun. You find out this thing is thousands of years ago, and he goes, loop, glump, thump. You see, it's almost as good as the meter. You go, you say, all right, I had a nice read on that. That was thousands of years ago. All right, now how do you feel? Gosh, I feel better. And at that point, you haul in the ITSA line and go flank speed ahead into your next process. You hear this? Why? He's going to push himself into things. Old-time Dionysus has been around for Lord knows how long. He's down in Los Angeles now. And he was in the 42 Aberdeen Road, and I was showing him what straight wire, showing him, unfortunately, the difference between straight wire and engram running. Unfortunately. So I took his chronic somatic and his worry about this lifetime, and I straight-wired it out of existence like that. I spotted the time, and somebody else had it, and it blew, and that was that. He's the happiest man you ever laid your eye on, you know. He's just pleased, you know. He's shining, pleased. And then I said, all right, now we'll pick that up as an engram. Proceeded to do so and keyed it right straight back in. But it was actually a terrible cruelty to do that to the man, and I actually wouldn't have done it had I realized that he was setting so much store by it. So let that serve us as a lesson. It's a mistake I haven't made again. What's the essence of this, then? When the PC drops this one off, bail out. Too much of a good thing here. You can even make up some homely platitude, you know. Something about a little auditing goes a long way if a long auditing goes a little way, or something like that, don't you think? I know it confused me, too, but there's something about medicine, you see. If a little bit of medicine did a lot of good, well, a lot of medicine will do lots of good, and you can actually get caught in between this on this little process. So the process is not greatly advertised, terribly effective. It's been with us forever, because it's dating the somatic, you see, and getting rid of it. But in this particular case, you're not dating the PC somatic. You're asking him what he's trying to resolve in processing. You get the difference? And that's the only reason it has any importance at all. Is because once you've dropped that off the PC, he then won't consult it to find out if he's made his gains, and he won't be dragging the thing into every facsimile or anything else you try to run on. So he's going to make some progress. He's going to make more TA action because he's not always misdating something. You got it? But a little of it goes a long, long way. Slippy, quick, fast. I dare say, when you first use it, about 80% of the time you will overrun it. When you first start using it. And then you will get very, very expert, and about 50% of the time you will overrun it. And you'll eventually, if you keep using it time to time, why, you'll suddenly find out that you're getting pretty slippy. You're getting pretty slippy. You see, if it disappeared on the ITSA line, you'd bail out. Isn't likely to, but if it did, you would. You'll find out that some horrendous body masses come off of the PC by reason of this operation. The only thing it's used for is this thing called hidden standard. You got that? Now, a hidden standard is not always present in every PC to a point where it ruins the auditing. But it is present in any PC who has a difficult or delicate tone arm. So on your delicate tone arm cases, you have another little weapon. And if you don't have a delicate tone arm case, this character is just running fine with the tone arm action and that sort of thing. It isn't always stop, you know, and isn't always this and isn't all that. And you find yourself going around worrying about somebody's tone arm. That is your immediate and direct answer. If session after session you've worried about somebody's tone arm action and you're doing everything reasonable in order to get the tone arm running and you have not made it, and so forth, then you just remember this little point on the time track or this little point on the tape when the old man said, delicate tone arm, probability, hidden standard. Remedy, R3T. And remember he also said, a little of it goes a long way. You get enthusiastic with this R3T. You could probably try to run a whole case with it. All right, let's see how you can run a whole case with it. All right, now, what are you trying to resolve in processing? What pains, agonies, illnesses, or sicknesses, or physical sensations are you trying to resolve in processing? And so forth. PC gives it to you. Order of magnitude. Date it. Date it to the second. You even have to do that sometimes. But you date this thing to the second. Find the PC stuck in the engram. Find out it is an engram. Shift to R3R. Get that out. And then find the engram is stuck in the middle of the GPM, so you shift to 3N, see? And you get that handled, you see. But then you find that this, in actual fact, is part of one of the PC's own GPMs, RI. So, of course, you have to shift to 3M, R3M2. All right, now you've shifted to R3M2. And you find out, actually, it's reaching up into PT, so you run a service FAC on it. Now, having run a service stack on, you accumulated quite a few ARC breaks during this auditing, so you... Oh, this goes a long way. You'll finally get expert at hitting the sill. But you actually could take everything the PC was worried about, see? and do this whole thing. You could do R3T, even well done, on everything the PC was worried about in present time. Now we're being sensible, see. This is ridiculous. This is true, see. You say, what you worried about? You know, what are you being processed to resolve, and so forth? And he said, well, my gut pains. All right, that's fine. R3T, gut pains, order of magnitude. Where's the gut pain? Well, to hell with that. That's the end of that. See? All right. What else are you trying to resolve in processing? Well, my headaches. All right. R3T, headaches. That's the end of his headache. What else are you trying to worry about in processing and so forth? What are you trying to resolve and so forth? And it says, husbands. All right. Let's date husbands. And fact, see? All right. Order of magnitude on husbands. Your worries back there at trillions 35. That's it. Okay. No, it's a line. Trillions 35. All right. Anything else you're trying to resolve with processing and so forth? Well, I'm trying to resolve having a body. Having a body. I'm trying to resolve having a body. They get in my way all the time. I have to wash them, you know. I have to wash them. And they dent and they drip blood all over the place when you stick holes in them. And so forth. They worry me. They worry me. All right. Body. Order of magnitude, body. Well, 208,000 years ago. Very good. All right. That's it. Yeah, there's an interesting thing there. Well, good. Good. Thank you. That's when you want to get that DR2 in there. See? Good. All right. Well, what do you know? Well, I'm certainly glad you found that. Very fine. All right. I'm glad you found that. Okay. Now, what else are you worried about, in actual fact, in processing? You see, you let his line go on a backtrack. He's going to have you wrapped around into every process you ever heard of, man. You're going to lose control of that session. When you finally finished up, you'd have a clear. That is a method of clearing. Got it? Needle go free. DA come down. So, impossible as it seems, it is a method. That'd be every hidden standard he ever heard of. Anything he could dream up here. But don't let him pull any back from the backtrack. That return journey, no payload. Return empty. Okay. Nothing, no baggage. Otherwise, you'll start scraping that track up and bring it up to PT. The next thing you know, why you're doing, oh, my God. Now, the service facsimile has to be severely located on the time track. And we say this lifetime, but actually what you're doing is circumscribing the duration, the absolute limit of your service facsimile activity, R3SC, is the pair of eyes he's currently sitting in on his own GPM line. Now, that can be a pretty broad sphere, but if you limit it very severely to this lifetime, you could even work to key that out, don't you see? But if for some reason or other, this becomes so complicated, and you can't get down to it, and somehow, you get to wondering why you ever came to the session in the first place, you see? Why, you've still got another string to your bow. You've got R3T. R3T clearing. You can still make a clear. He can't stop you from doing it. You see that? Now, this is with the PC that you can't seem to find a service facsimile on that runs over any period of time. You know, difficult. Difficult. Now, I say you're going to get some difficult PCs. It's impossible to say otherwise. Because the hidden standard in this particular case is the service facsimile. But it just happens to be, for some reason, best known to somebody else, completely undentable. There's one thing that will dent it, and that's to pick it up, wrap it in a small black ball, wind your arm up around your head, and pitch it with high velocity down the time track to a place where it belongs. And that has a degree of workability. Now, of course, this is all under the heading of destimulation. So because it's under the heading of destimulation, you have to be careful. Okay, that's why it becomes absolutely start running things. Because you start running things on the whole track on a case that you're already trying to destimulate, why are you trying to destimulate the case? can I destimulate the case so that it doesn't have PT problems and so forth to kick your auditing session to pieces? So therefore, if you start a destimulation action, if you start an action of destimulation, what have you done if you suddenly start running something on the back track? And if the PC's service facsimile has in it to make you wrong as an auditor, what's PC's going to do? He's going to try to re-stimulate more than he already got. Now, how do you keep the ITSA line in on a PC who wants to re-stimulate more? That's your problem. How do you keep from ARC breaking this PC? How do you keep from actually actively cutting the ITSA line? Well, the best way to do it, actually, and I will help you with this problem, is be awful damn careful with your what's-its. Use that what's-it line with great skill. Knock out of your auditing all social actions. That's the first thing you do. Avoid all violent attention shifts. Avoid all attention shifts, but you possibly can, which are directed by a what's-it. In other words, don't direct the PC's attention in such a way as to ARC break the PC so it starts to get even with you by re-stimulating more or some weird combination like this occur. Just avoid all that. See what I mean? Be awful careful of those what's-it. Don't say, how have you been today? You understand? That's a what's-it. Gives him an opportunity to say, well, actually, I was sitting up in the lounge at the Bidewee Club and it sort of occurred to me, you know, saw this figure in Roman armor. Gee, you got it. Got the idea? It isn't a matter of withholding something unless you're obsessively social. It just don't use them.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.